Hello and welcome to this new show on UK Health Radio called Ayurveda, the Science of Life. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I am a retired GP, family doctor, of 30 years experience in the UK and Ireland. I am now working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast and also as a health and wellness coach. I came across Ayurveda in the past few years via the Ayurvedic Institute of UK in London. And I completed both a diploma in Ayurvedic lifestyle and nutrition and a diploma in Ayurvedic practitioner over the last 3 years. I am passionate about the role Ayurveda can play in improving people's health through personalized and tailored digestive and nutritional advice as well as lifestyle modifications. And also teaching Ayurveda through educational workshops in the local community groups. My desire is to help people learn about a system of medicine which can empower them to take control of their health. I believe the key to better health is to develop self-awareness of our body and mind and the factors that can cause us to become imbalanced and unwell. This, I believe, is what Ayurveda teaches us more effectively than any other system of medicine. Ayurveda is the original lifestyle medicine and gives us greater understanding of how we can achieve our best health to prevent illness and disease. In this show, I'll introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine called Ayurveda, which is still in use today, particularly in India and increasingly in the US and in Europe. It is growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple and understandable explanations for how it can work for you in your life. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature as well as the wider world of nature. We're all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives and habits. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. These shows aim to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper and holistic and more personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, herbs and spices, simple herbal remedies, and herbal-based medication to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and our lifestyle, especially physical illness diseases as well as mental health issues. We hold on to unprocessed emotional and psychological scars or trauma from past events, which causes mental and psychological illness, which can also manifest as physical symptoms later on. And often the connection is not clear. The connections between our physical symptoms and the past and emotional issues, if not resolved, can lead to further health problems and illnesses later in life. Ayurveda teaches us how everything in our life affects our well-being, state of health. On this show, I hope to show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So, on today's show, we'll be looking at the seasons. It's quite topical at this moment in time because we're at the just past the juncture of the seasons of summer and autumn. And this show today is all about how the doshas of Vata, Pitta and Kapha, or the energies that we are made up of, are affected by the season. Now, we, as you know, are clearly affected by the season. Just think of seasonal affective disorder as a common occurrence during wintertime. Our mood, our energy levels, our food choices, the habits, and our lifestyle, how we live, are affected by the seasons. That's stating the obvious. Now, sometimes we are aware of these changes and how the seasons affect us, and sometimes we're not. And increasingly in our modern lives, I feel that the latter is the case. We're not aware of the changes that occur in our bodies aligned during the seasons. Now, in Ayurveda, we teach that the expression or the manifestations of our doshas or the energies that comprise us change depending on the seasons. This is an immutable fact. Now, we can also become imbalanced in our doshas as a result and be more at risk of seasonal type illnesses, such as hay fever, for instance, coughs and colds in the winter-spring seasons, or even skin rashes and prickly heat type of problems that we could get during the hot summer season. Now, Ayurveda can help us understand why we go through changes in our bodies and in our minds during the seasons. And this is what this show is going to be all about. I will discuss each season and how you can stay in balance using food choices, your lifestyle practices, including self-massage, exercise, meditation, aromatherapy, and other practices that you can incorporate to help stay in balance. So by the end of this show, you will hopefully be better able to understand how to live in tune with nature and to keep your body in balance during the seasons, or have a better awareness of it. Now, for simplicity, Ayurveda describes three seasons, not the four we're accustomed to. And these are the summer season, the autumn season, and the winter and spring season that are grouped together. Now, each of these seasons has a dosha associated with us. I might have discussed this before, but the winter and spring season is associated with kapha, which is the dosha of earth and water. The summer season is associated with pitta, which is dosha of fire and water. And the autumn season is associated with vata, which is the dosha of air and space. And when I discuss them later, you'll understand how they fit into those different categories. The easiest place to start is where we are right now, as we are in autumn season. And autumn, I must admit, is my favourite season. I love the autumn. I love the changeability of the weather. I love the different colours that are in the trees. And I love the wind and the cold weather coming with the clear skies. Now, autumn is characterised by changes in weather, by an increased wind and increased movement in the weather systems. And autumn gets colder and drier. And all of these qualities correspond with the Vata dosha, which is a perfect, they're a perfect match. The qualities I've explained before of Vata include cold, dry, windy, and rough. You think of leaves falling on the ground, and then becoming rough and drier as they left on the ground. We need to focus the season more on reduced activity, less movement almost in the way, or at least less frenetic type movement, because we're trying to balance what's in nature and not have too much of the same within us ourselves. It's also a time to reflect on the turning of the year as we're heading into the second half of the year preparing for winter. In a way, time to reflect on life's many mysteries, on our own nature, nature in general, and our own existence. It's a time for us to allow space to reflect on the nature of change itself in many ways, which is the characteristic feature of autumn. Of change. Autumn is like springtime. It's a time of transition, but even more so because we are preparing our mind and body for winter. So there is considerable moment and impact and importance to do with the transition of autumn into winter. So of autumn itself. Now, because of the way the weather is in autumn, because of the changeability of the weather, and because of the high winds and the dryness associated with autumn, these can all aggravate vata, or the vata dosha within us. And if we're a vata person, or a person who's predominantly vata nature, or with strong vata traits, we have to be particularly careful at this time of year to be careful about our nutrition, our lifestyle, how we're living, to avoid making that vata imbalance worse. Symptoms that would normally occur with a vata imbalance would be nervousness, anxiety, restlessness, insomnia, physical symptoms such as dry skin, constipation, and bone pains. These are just some of the vata symptoms you can get if you're imbalanced. And also we may be carrying some excess or residual leftover heat from the summer, which is associated with pitta. And this can also exacerbate the dry, nice, mobile qualities of vata, because pitta and vata are the more similar of the doshas, of the three doshas. So how do we balance vata in the autumn season, when it's most likely to go out of balance? Remember again, opposites balance and like increases like. This is the basic fundamental principle of Ayurveda. And the way to balance vata through the tastes are to promote the sweet, salt, and sour tastes. Okay, sweet is regarded as a heavy, nourishing, grounding type of taste. Salt is a good for vata as it helps us retain water. But we have to be a little careful with sour taste, because if there's some leftover pitta in your system from the summer, it can exacerbate the pitta problems, such as skin rashes, heartburn, inflammatory, heat-related conditions. Autumn, once again, it's an especially important time to eat seasonally. And historically, autumn is telling that we have reaped the harvest of root vegetables, pumpkins, squash, turnips, and so on. And we've gathered in the remaining apple harvest. Common foods in this time we would have eaten would be pies or sweet and savoury, stews and soups have been traditional dishes this time of the year. The grounding, heavier foods which balance air and space of vata are the types of dishes that we will usually eat at this time of the year. If you're like me, you can remember Halloween and autumn particularly vividly. One of the commonest things we were given as a treat was monkey nuts. And eating nuts has always been associated with this time of the year. And nuts such as pecan nuts, Brazil nuts, and hazelnuts, these provide the necessary oils and the good fats what we need for the winter time, as well as the protein we need to build up our bodies and prepare for and to nourish us through the winter time. So these are our recommended foods to balance the vata. The foods we would avoid or reduce would be the lighter types of foods, such as the salads, the leafy vegetables, and the raw foods, which will increase vata in our system. It's a good idea to eat regular meals for vata, particularly to keep balanced. And the easily digestible meals such as stews and soups, like I mentioned before, because the vata digestion can be a bit erratic. So you're thinking of warm and comfort foods. And I like to think it's the same with the drinks. We're thinking of warm comfort drinks. Think of traditional autumn winter drinks would be mulled wine with warming spices such as clove and cinnamon. Hot chocolate is another example. And then warm milk at night, nutmeg or cinnamon is a commonly take and drink at this time of year. And of course, the old favorite ginger honey and lime, or ginger honey and lemon with hot water, is another wonderful bar-to-balancing drink. Now, I'll take a short break and come back with some of the self-care practices or lifestyle modifications we can do to modify BAFTA during this autumn season. So, see you very shortly and discuss a little bit more about BAFTA and the autumn season.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to this show, which is all about Ayurveda, the seasons, and how they affect doshas, or the energies that make us up, through our bodies and minds. I have discussed just on the last part of the show that back that autumn, the season we're in now, is a season when Vata dosha is most prominent in our systems. And I've discussed various ways we can reduce that Vata element within us to balance us during that period by meal recommendations, food choices, and even drink choices. And now, I'll discuss a little bit about the self-care practices that we can use. What I'm going to mention again and again is what's called Abhyanga. And Abhyanga means a self-massage. You can have a massage by a therapist, but effectively, the practical purpose, we're talking about self-massage. And for Vata, we use warming oils. And the commonest to the warming oil we use is sesame oil. I looked a bit of sesame oil in a base oil mixed together. Okay, base oil could be anything like baby oil or Johnson's baby oil, something like that. If you gently heat the oil beforehand, you'll have a better effect with Vata, because Vata is, quality of Vata is cold, so that heating the oil can be helpful. Now, self-massage, I appreciate it's not something what you can do on a busy day. But even massaging a few parts of your body, your hands and the face and your arms and maybe your scalp, are certainly worth considering and trying to do it on a daily basis so it becomes a habit, which is what we recommend. It also allows you to monitor your body and to check in with yourself once a week. And this is something we don't do often enough. We wait for problems to occur before we notice them. A bit like a body scan if you went into a scanner, but you're scanning yourself. Another thing to do is to pay attention, particularly to areas that are stiff, maybe like cracking joints and such like, that might become painful during a change of season, which is a common feature of osteoarthritis, what we call wear and tear arthritis affecting the joints. So this is occurs because of dryness in the joints, we believe. So the dry conditions of autumn don't just affect your joints, they can also affect your skin. So the beneficial effect of a daily massage is you're starting to understand how it will work to kind of balance the vata and combat the dryness, the combat the cold quality as well by using a heated oil with a heating action like sesame oil. So this idea of the conditions of the season being reflected in our bodies is a good example how the weather change and how we are so closely connected to nature, and that the changes in the weather or manifests in changes in our body as well, through the dosha as well. Explore. Another good habit, self-care practice for vata particularly is a meditative practice or meditation. And really, developing your regular meditation practice is recognized nowadays as an important habit to help your body and your mind, promote relaxation, reduce anxiety. And it's particularly important this time of year, because if you have a vata imbalance, you can present with symptoms that are treatable with a meditative practice, such as anxiety, restlessness, sleeplessness, and your feeling of your thoughts been racing. So developing the practice where you learn to calm your mind and your thoughts so that you can reduce the speed of your thoughts through meditation has a very beneficial effect. And even just monitoring or even observing your breath and counting it into the time of 4 seconds and doing just a simple breathing practice is a very basic form of meditation indeed, and can have a relaxing effect. So this has a very good calming effect on vata, and it's a good practice. Obvious things that can help with balancing vata from a physical point of view would be ensuring you're warm enough at night, and ensuring that you've got the correct duvet and the correct blankets of warmth within the room. I don't often recommend using hot water bottles, but this is a good opportunity to, if you're feeling cold and it's affecting your ability to get to sleep, just to keep yourself warm or cozy at night when the temperature is dropping. And the same applies to when you're outdoors, because even the sunniest day with the extra wind effect can be cold, and we can be caught out by that in the early autumn time. And as far as exercise for vata imbalance, the best type of exercise would be walking outdoor in nature, which is one of the most lovely times to be walking outside, and watching the color change in the trees and in the woods. Slow, methodical type of exercise is good for vata, rather than anything too strenuous or anything that involves too much frenetic movement. This practice of walking meditation, even doing it barefoot, and it's probably just possible in early autumn to do that. This is increasingly popular because it helps your body slow down and your mind to slow down. You become more mindful in your walking practice. And it's the same with recommending a yoga type practice. You'd really be looking at posture based routines rather than movement based routines. So to choose a yoga practice that is slow and posture based rather than. And Tai Chi is a very good example of an exercise that it has a grounding and a calming effect, which is what you need in the autumn or in the vata imbalance situation, where you really just need to be calmed and grounded. Okay. So if we move on now to the next season after autumn, which would be in Ayurveda, we regard it as the winter-spring season. We join them both together. And this is a cattle season. So in the purest reality of this particular season, we're talking about the early new year, or late winter and the early spring. So it's like the middle of those two seasons, effectively. And this is characterized, the weather is characterized at this time of year by moisture, by rain, by sleet, by blizzards, and the threat of snow in the air. So we feel that cold and that heaviness in the air when it's particularly moist and damp. And this can affect our body and mind, almost as if it's like we're entering a shutdown in a way, like a hibernating type of thing. Now, this can, as I say, manifest as a general slowing up, and it reflects the qualities of the Kapha dosha, which we know earth and water elements mixed together would represent as heaviness or stagnation or sluggishness and even a congestion within our body, and even some weight gain that can happen during the winter time. We're less active and we're eating different types of heavier food. Now, to balance these effects, we need to once again bring in the opposite qualities into being. So we're coming out of winter with our heaviness and lethargy in our bodies from the food choices and the kind of the less active lifestyle we've been leading, the colder weather. So we need to bring in the opposite qualities and the opposite habits. And this is like a lightening up of our diet and of our life, so to speak. And traditionally, early February was a time of fasting and detoxification, so to speak. If you remember the Festival of Lent, which is still present, but not so commonly observed as it was when I was growing up. And also Ramadan, which is the sitting up and fasting period that we have before during this time of year. This really was like a nature-based response for our bodies to shed the weight of winter and incorporate it into a religious ritual. So this transition of winter to spring, as I said, brings excess congestion and mucus and moisture. And that leaves us at risk of developing coughs and colds, which are more common in this time of year. So that's the season described and how it can affect explained by the Kapha dosha. So we need to know how do we avoid or how do we reverse or reduce the Kapha imbalance. So once again, I'll start with the foods. And if you remember, the tastes of Kapha, the balanced Kapha, would be the pungent, bitter, and astringent. And the ones we avoid would be the sweet, sour, and salty. Now the pungent foods, like I explained in previous episodes, will be spices, hot spices, clove, pepper, cinnamon, ginger, and nutmeg. Bitter and astringent, bitter being green vegetables, sours, and herbs, astringent, and turmeric and fenugreek, the spices, for example. We need to bring in the opposite qualities in terms of Kapha, which would be hotter, drier, lighter foods, which balance the moist and the heavy and the cold qualities of Kapha. We also need to, these tastes that I described, that balance Kapha, pungent, bitter, and astringent, are characterized by being drying in effect, and they can be cleansing, or detoxifying, and they have a stimulating action on the body. This is what we really need to get up and get going after the winter. So another thing to think about is the way we cook, because grilling and baking is a drying type of cooking method. And stewing and frying are the opposite types, but they bring in more oils and they're more moisture in the cooking and steaming, of course. So that's the thing to consider when we're preparing dishes, to try and grill and bake more often so the food is drier, and use less oils in the cooking as well. Now, the drinks that can balance a Kapha imbalance will be, once again, the ginger, honey, and lemon with hot water. It's a very effective drink. And adding some black pepper gives an extra bit of heat to the drink, an extra detoxifying effect. Warm milk At night, particularly with nutmeg, cinnamon is a very helpful drink and very relaxing before you go to bed. And herbal teas. Herbal teas with ginger and dandelion, that too that I could think of. Warm drinks in general are a good recommendation for a kaffir because they can slow digestion is a problem. Cold drinks will reduce your digestive fire, especially if you take them around mealtimes. And it's a common advice in Ayurveda to try and avoid cold drinks as much as possible. So sipping warm drinks such as ginger honey and lemon and by a flask is a very good habit to develop for kapha imbalance and take them towards strength. Now, I think it's probably just enough time to take the last break of the show and I'll come back and finish up with the self-care practices for kapha and a brief summary before I wrap up this show about Ayurveda and the doshas and the seasons and how they affect us and the importance of being aware of it and being able to make adjustments as leader to avoid getting too imbalanced from season to season or at the juncture of season. I'll see you very shortly for the last section of the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back again to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. My name is Dr. Lucan. I've been talking about the role of the seasons in Ayurveda and how they affect our doshas, particularly at the changes of the season. How we are affected by the changes of the season from summer to autumn, and autumn to winter, and winter, spring, on back into summer. So I was talking about kapha imbalance, which is a feature of the winter-spring season, and I discussed the food choices and drinks choices you make to try and balance kapha, and just a brief description of those, and I'm going to talk about the self-care practices you can do to balance a kapha balance aren't during that period from early spring, late winter, early spring, when you might be suffering a kapha imbalance after the heaviness, the sluggishness our body brings into the new year after winter, winter season. And I'll start again with Abhyanga, which is a self-care massage that you can do. And you can use any oil in kapha, essentially, but not coconut oil, which can be cooling. And common oils used are sesame oil, or almond oil, or olive oil, and mixing with the base oil can help extend maximize the energy you have, so that you can use it for cover a greater area. And then if you can try and develop a regular practice of this, and I appreciate it's not something that's easy to do, but we're leading busy lives, but even smaller self-care massages is beneficial. And you really need to be kind to yourself, and part of looking after yourself is being able to spend to treat yourself even with a massage. And the massage, it will have a detoxifying action, even the simplest of massages, on the deep layers of your skin, deep tissue layers of skin, back, and muscle. And the action can help dislodge any toxins that are in the tissue layers, and then they can be carried into the lymph or the waste-removing channels of the body. So a self massage using sesame oil particularly is helpful for cognitive balance. As far as exercise is concerned, once again, I may have explained in the previous episode, kapha tends to be sedentary, and difficult to shift and get moving. So any movement-based exercises that's more invigorating, that can make you feel hot and build the heat and part of your body, and also to make you sweat. And so it has to be fairly active and fairly strenuous to help the kapha balance. So if you're thinking about yoga, you'd be looking at the yoga sequence or exercise with lots of different movements, and rather than remaining still in postures. In terms of sleep, kapha people have no problems with sleeping, but the problem is they sleep too much. So that they're encouraging them to wake a little earlier in the morning and switch their alarm time, and to avoid daytime naps, particularly naps after meals, which can make kapha certainly more imbalanced. Now, on to our most people's favorite season now would be the summer season. And this is what's called pitta time. And as we know, pitta is the dosha of fire and water, and fire is the dominant feature of this dosha. So it's no surprise summer is the time when pitta is most prominent, both in our body and in our mind. Now, people with a pitta constitution, once again, are therefore more likely to develop symptoms of pitta illness during the summer season. So we're thinking about the season now rather than so much the change of season, because the change of season would involve the end of the summer moving into autumn, like I discussed before, where you're bringing excess heat into the autumn and you're trying to rid yourself of that. But essentially, in talking nearly the season itself in summer, and how pitta problems can be worse during this season. And if we think of it like an overheating system, or like your internal thermostat setting is just too high, and you can get symptoms of pitta, which would be skin conditions, like I may have explained before, acne, psoriasis, or prickly heat rash. Gut-related symptoms are very common in pitta, heartburn, nausea, acid indigestion, even mouth ulcers are a sign of pitta, with loose stools that may have a burning effect on your pumice stool. So basically, your body is overheating all of this time when you're imbalancing the pitta dosha, and you're just trying to blow the heat off in any way through your skin, gut, your joints, and even your mind, where you can demonstrate signs of irritability, anger, the temper. Now that's the signs of a pitta imbalance. So what do we do to balance it then, if that's the case, particularly if it's more prominent in the summer? As I said many times, in Ayurveda, we look at opposites to bring in balance. So the opposites would be cooling foods and drinks, and lifestyle practices as well. And thankfully, summer is the season of fruit. And much like autumn, nature provides us with the harvest and the types of food and vegetables we need to eat in autumn, during the autumn season. Summer does the same, because the solution is there in nature. The seasonal foods are there for us amongst all the other many choices we have. If you think of salads, the phrase of salad days, if you think fresh fruit, the big fruits, mangoes, our mango season is in May. Strawberries, June, July, served in Wimbledon traditionally. and of course the big fruits, big summer fruits such as watermelon. Think of cucumber sandwich as well. Cucumbers are very, very pitta balancing, pitta calming fruit. Fruit or vegetable, cucumber, I'm never really sure. And the tastes that we need to balance pitta would be the sweet, the bitter, and the astringent tastes. And these are the tastes of summer. And they're particularly common in the form of drinks. We can have sweet drinks with added lime, lemon, or mint. For instance, in the southern states in the United in the US, a drink called mint julep is a very common drink with a sweet alcoholic bourbon on crushed ice sugar with mint. I've never had it, but it sounds lovely. And wine, strangely, is not something you'd recommend. Not strangely, wine is something that taken in the pitta or in the summer season can have a more pronounced effect upon you, and it's probably because alcohol is very heating. Taken by itself. I remember being in France years ago when I was a teenager, and we were drinking red wine mixed with white lemonade. And maybe been a reason just to add the sweetness to the red wine and water it down a little bit as well. So it doesn't have such a strong effect in the summer heat. Drinks that are good for pitta, that for balancing with that heat element in us, are coconut water, which is very cooling, or aloe vera juice, which are on the supermarkets these days. Cooling teas as well, cooling teas such as mint or fennel. And as regards food choices, once again, the common foods that we have during this season would be salads, and leafy greens, which have a bitter taste in general, and beans or lentils, which are again the astringent. Yeah. The aim would be to reduce your spice load intake, because spices are heating and they make it worse. Particularly avoid them in hot climates. We're just not used to them in these positions. And I often think that the commonly described Delhi belly or traveler's diarrhea is more likely caused by just simply having spicy foods in the heat and our digestion not being able to cope with them in those conditions. Avoid, as I said, fermented foods which are sour and they're sharp and they're heating as well, and they all make pitta worse. Cooling spices we do have as well. Mint, fennel, and cardamom, I've mentioned several times, are okay to use. And even warming spices are okay to use in moderation, such as pepper or cumin, which enhance the digestion, but don't exacerbate pitta too much. Now, self-care practices for pitta balance to be needed during the summer season, particularly hot, or if you're on holidays in a very hot hot country, would be a self-massage again, this time with coconut oil, which is cooling. And if you can do, once again, the more of your body you can massage, the better effect you'll have. And leaving the oil on for a period before you shower it off or you wash it off is will increase the different types of aromas, particularly for pitta, are cooling, and these would be rose, which is a cooling smell, aroma, jasmine, and sandalwood. And as well, similar with autumn, your clothes choices are autumn, which you take. You use natural textiles and fabrics such as cotton and linen, and then make them loose fitting so that you're not feeling constricted. And in terms of exercise, you'd be looking at less strenuous exercise and non-competitive as well, which is really important. So to not have super competitiveness on pitta can get worse when it's a competitive sport or probably can be. And try and exercise at the opposite ends of the day, in the morning or in the evening when it's the weather is cooler. It seems obvious to mention that, but it is worth mentioning. Exercise that could be helpful for pitta would be swimming, walking in nature or water. Definitely no hot yoga. This is a common practice now, but not good for pitta at all any time of the year, but particularly in the summer. So I've really, hopefully, it's been a little bit of a repeat of what I said at the previous shows, but specifically to do with the changes in the season, and I hope the show has helped you realize that Your diet and lifestyle practices can be adjusted according to the seasons. So you're not, you can't take control of things if things seem like a bit, if they're going out of kilter, when you go to season to season. It's really important that these critical fires that we remain balanced, because as Ayurveda reminds us again and again, we are really closely connected to the season changes. We haven't been for all our time on Earth. Indeed, until a few hundred years ago, and this is very recent in the scale of human history, all our lives were dictated by the seasons, the lunar cycle, and the daily circadian rhythms of the sun. So we still look at the full moon on a clear night with an awe and reverence, and crowds gather to watch a perfect sunset in a clear evening. So we still have that wonder of nature, even though our connection with it is not the same. So we really have forgotten how our bodies and minds are affected by the change of season. So this forgetting or this kind of neglect or unawareness can lead us to feeling imbalanced and at risk of developing an illness. And these effects are cumulative from season to season, year to year, and that is the worrying thing that we don't realize. In other words, the more we are unbalanced, the more we become unbalanced. And this is particularly challenging for us these days, faced with the uncertain and unpredictable weather conditions and the seasons we are seeing. And also we're faced with the increased choice and availability of foods all year round, which makes it difficult to know what to eat and when to eat it. The food shopping is becoming increasingly like a decision overload paralysis experience. And just try choosing a full-fat natural yogurt in the dairy section and a healthy non-sugar-laden cereal. You'll be there all day. But thankfully, Ayurveda teaches us, in simple, clear steps, I hope I've outlined today, how we can manage these changes to remain in balance. If some simple things to remember are just if you can shop local as much as possible, certified organic food anywhere you possibly can, always check the label. Ask questions where the food comes from, at restaurants, butchers, vegetable stores, fruit shops, wherever, if you're not really sure. It's good to open up a dialogue and look for the farmers markets nearby. There's so many more farmers markets now. You just need to look online, ask around, and do the same about asking questions there. The vendors will love you if you ask questions, and it can be great for and of course limit your intake or your buying and processed foods as much as practical, which is, you know, I appreciate it's not always possible, but it's something to aim for. And in summary, really, in summer, raw foods and salads, cooling food and drinks, less spice, less heat increase. And the same reflected in activities as much. In autumn, grounding heavier foods with warming spices, one-pot meals, stews, soups, casseroles, foods that are easily digestible, with a lighter double sugar, which is more prominent at that time. And in the winter, spring, we're kind of preparing for the detox and the lightning diet as we head into the end of spring and the summer. So lighter, drier foods, more spices, heating spices, and bitter tastes with cleansing foods and increasing our vegetable intake overall. Well, thank you very much for listening to the show. I do appreciate that it may be very new for you listening to a lot of the concepts and a lot of the discussion that I've had today. I hope that it's starting to make a little more sense to you. It's certainly worth having a think and being more aware about Ayurveda as a way to be able to take control of your health and balance yourself so that you may well. So once again, I have to say Ayurveda, for me, is a more a way of life and living, and it has a deep relevance today and also in Spain, more than 1,000-year history. We do live in challenging times in a fast-paced and changing environment with increasing demands of time and attention. And the world we live in is undergoing many changes. Our natural world and the environment are under threat as never before. And our weather system kind of also. And this is particularly noticeable in the seasonal changes and how they're so unpredictable. And this is particularly important because of this episode. And as we're so closely connected to nature, even in this modern world, This causes stresses and strains on our natural constitution and ultimately our health. Ayurveda provides us a way to manage these external factors through our diet, digestion, and lifestyle habits and routines. This way we can take control of our own health and well-being to live a better, more fulfilled, and ultimately more conscious life. But tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com. Like I say, anam is the Irish word for soul. It's spelled A-N-A-M, grandmother. Until then, as we say in Ireland, or in Irish, Cree Fallon, Bodsail, healthy heart, long life. See you all next week.